4 this morning. Matthew chapter 4. Earlier this year, in our EBC Teens Wednesday nights, we did a series called Let's Look at the Bible and went through 8 weeks of some questions. How do we get the Bible? Does the Bible benefit me? Can I trust the Bible? Is it accurate? Just a number of those things that we went through. And one of the questions asked was, why should I spend time in God's Word? Why should I spend time in God's Word? And that's the question we're going to look at this morning. Matthew chapter 4, beginning of verse 1, says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit unto the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. In order for us to live as God intends for us to live, we must spend time in his word. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Father, as we look into the scripture, into this topic, as we ask this question, Father, would you help our hearts to desire your word more? Father, we get enough of the world's intake, and Father, we need more of yours, and that comes through your Spirit and through the scriptures. Father, be with us this morning. Open our hearts, our minds. Lord, give me clarity. Help us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Because scripture is the supreme locus, one author says, locus meaning the center or source of something, not the insect, L-O-C-U-S. Because scripture is the supreme locus of God's self-communication in the world, Christians are people of the book, or should be people of the book. The Lord gathers, nourishes, defends, and guides his people through this book, and his people assemble around, feed upon, find shelter in, and follow after the words of this book. Why should I spend time in God's Word? Number one answer is fairly easy. We find it here in verse 4 of Matthew chapter 4 because Jesus said we need it. Jesus said we need God's Word. He says, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What are some things that are necessary in order for us to live? If we were to give a list, we would say air would probably be top of the list, top two maybe, top hopefully top five. Air, water, food, my physical makeup, okay, the internal components of my body are necessary. If I stop having air, life stops. If I stop having food and water, life stops. If my heart stops, life stops. If my lungs stop, life stops, okay? So there's certain things that are necessary in order for us to live, and those are for our spiritual being. And what does Jesus say? He says, man cannot live by bread alone. It can't happen. Why is that? Because you and I are more than physical beings. We're not made up just of the physical. We have the spiritual. God gave us a soul. And because of that, it is necessary for us to have the word of God, just as it's necessary for us to have air, water, food, whatever physical components we need the spiritual components of God's word. Does it ever come to the forefront of your mind that the scriptures are not optional? The scriptures are necessary. If you're going to live, if you're going to function as God intended you to function, as God intended you to live, you're going to need to spend time in God's Word. Christ here is referencing Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3. He says that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. You and I cannot live completely just in the physical realm. To fully live, we must have a relationship with God through Christ. And after salvation, we continue to have that relationship as we continue to have fellowship with the Father. In fact, without a relationship with God through Christ, we don't really have life. There are a lot of people trying to find the meaning of life. What is life? They think that they have life, but they're without life because they're without Christ and they're without God. Jesus saith unto him in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Did we hear that verse at all this past week in the True Sleuth Academy VBS? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus said we need God's word. It's necessary to not only our physical life, but our spiritual life. It's interesting that Matthew chapter 4 takes place right after Matthew chapter 3. Novel, isn't it? It's incredible. And what happens in Matthew chapter 3, we have what I would call just a spiritual mountaintop. What do we have? We have the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ from John the Baptist. And verse 17, the last verse of chapter 3 says, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then we begin chapter 4. And the truth is, those of us who were invested this week, whether praying, whether giving, whether here ministering physically during VBS, it was a fantastic week. And we were given a lot of truth this week from the scriptures, from the ministry of the songs and the ministry of the Merrill team. And from those of you in registration, you listened to kids who memorized verses and gave those verses to you. And we come off this spiritualness, but be careful this week as there's physical rest that needs to take place. But don't forget about the spiritual component of continuing on with the necessary spiritual aspect of life that needs to continue. And so be cautious of that. It's not a coincidence that chapter 3 and chapter 4 are like this, with this spiritual mountaintop, and then what happens after that? Jesus is led of the Spirit to be tempted. It's interesting to me that Jesus answers Satan in chapter 4. Did he need to give the scriptures? Could he have just said, Satan, be gone. You're done. Don't talk to me anymore. Easily, right? But what an example for us of our need for the scriptures. He says in verse 4, it is written. Verse 7, it is written again. And then, verse 10, he finally says, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. And what an example of us to combat Satan the same way the Lord combated Satan. And that's only going to happen as we spend time in God's Word, as we spend time yielded to the Spirit, as we spend time fellowshipping with our Lord. You and I need to combat the voice of Satan with the Word of God. We are in a spiritual battle. How many of you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you, VBS week, you physically felt the fact that there was a spiritual battle? That things took place, or why did this happen, or why did this appliance break at this moment? Why did this happen this week? Why did this emergency take place this week? Why did I wake up one morning and my spirit just felt off? Because we're in a spiritual battle, and Satan is trying to get his voice into our lives, but we must fight with, as Ephesians 6:19 says, the sword of the Spirit. And it's our offensive weapon to have God's word in order to combat the voice of Satan. Why? Because not only are we fighting Satan's voice, we're fighting the world's voice. How many of us fight just the naturalness of ourselves and our own voice? Because Jeremiah 17 tells us that our heart is what? Desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. I've got a picture I want to show, just a slide here of the difference between God's voice and Satan's voice. I'm sorry if that is not very legible for you. But this is something that was found, I don't know, my wife found it on Facebook 9 years ago, 9 years ago maybe, and it's just something that stuck, and it's not very professional looking. It's just something that somebody wrote out and posted. But look at the differences here. God's voice steals you. Satan's voice rushes you. God's voice leads you. Satan's voice pushes you. God's voice reassures you. Satan's voice frightens you. God's voice enlightens you. Satan's voice confuses you. God's voice encourages you. Satan's voice discourages you. God's voice comforts you. Satan's voice worries you. God's voice calms you. Satan's voice obsesses you. And God's voice convicts you. Satan's voice condemns you. And as we spend time in God's word, the more we're able to combat the voice of Satan with the voice of God. God is never early and he's never late. He's always right on time, and his plans for you are good. Good underline there. God is a God of love and order. If the voice you are hearing doesn't sound like those things, then they are not from him. And we combat Satan's voice with God's voice, with the scripture. And Satan wants to put his voice above God's voice, doesn't he? Is that not what happened in Genesis chapter 3? Yea, hath God said. I want my voice, Satan says, to be above God's voice. And that's why he is adamant that you stay away from the scriptures, because he knows the power of it firsthand. Why should I spend time in God's word? Number one, Jesus said we need God's word. But number two, the Bible is where we get truth. The Bible is where we get truth. John 17 and verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That was the theme verse for this week of VBS. This week of VBS was all about the scriptures, all about the truth of God's word. In fact, every child that was here, I think it was, I want to say Wednesday night, it might have been Tuesday night, every child that was here received a little silicone wristband. It says Merrill Ministries, and on one side it says, thy word is truth. What a reminder for some of these kids this week that maybe they are surrounded by a lack of God's truth. And to put this on and to remember, thy word is truth. How would our community be changed if everybody followed these four words? How would our families be changed if everybody followed the words, thy word is truth? How would our church be changed if we all followed thy word is truth and began to follow through with it? But the Bible is where we get truth. We heard about God's word being true all week long. In fact, how many of you that worked VBS or were here for VBS, when you got home at night, you couldn't walk through the door normal? You had to walk through the door like this. We are a mystifying undercover investigation of the truth. Truth sleuths. Okay, how many of you went to bed singing the song, you woke up with a song on your mind, 6 months from now, you're still going to have these songs on your mind? Okay, I remember Meryl songs from 2015, okay? Like, it just happens, right? They write these songs and you remember them. And last night our kids were singing some of the songs. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. All right, another song about God's word setting us free. Another song about God's word helping us to grow like a flower, like a tree. And you're just like, thanks, Pastor Adam, appreciate it. I had just got those songs out of my head last night, and you just re-entered them into the files. I'm sorry, but it would have come to mind sometime, someplace. So, but how much truth did we get this week? Singing about truth, hearing truth, memorizing truth. These kids that memorize God's word over and over again, there is no better source of truth than the word of God. Titus 1 and verse 2 tells us that God cannot lie. Then if God cannot lie, this means that he only speaks truth. If God can only speak truth, then whatever God says has to be true. Follow me, I know, I'm sorry, this is super simple. Then if God has breathed out the Bible, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, then the Bible must also be true. If God cannot lie, his word has to be true. And now we live in what we call a post-truth era. A post-truth worldview is starting to come in where there's really no truth. There's your truth, and then maybe there's my truth. And as long as we can be okay with each other having different truths, it's okay. And that, for some reason, they think that seems to work, but I've never seen it work in professional sports, where I've never seen a batter get up in baseball. We were watching baseball the other night. I've never seen a batter get up and hit a ball that goes on the right side, if the batter's facing the outfield, that goes on the right side of the foul line, and the umpire calls it foul. I've never seen somebody run to first base and go, well, that's your line, but my line is over here. So to me, that ball was fair, okay? They'd be like, you're whack. Get out of here. Okay, we don't want you here, all right? You don't need to be playing baseball at this level if you can't figure out the foul lines, okay? But the truth is, there is truth. And there is wrong. That was one of the songs again this week, just to remind you of that one, okay? That there is a right, there is a wrong, okay? And the Bible is where we get truth. Psalm 19 and verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Psalm 33 and verse 4, this is one of the memory verses the kids had this week if they finished the main section. It says, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. Psalm 119, 142, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Psalm 119, 151, thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Psalm 119 and 160, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. So the Bible is where we get truth. Number one, we find truth about God. How wonderful to have the scriptures, to be able to find out the truth about God that is revealed in God's word. Now the heavens declare the glory of God, Psalm 19:1 tells us. But imagine what we would not know about God if we did not have the scriptures. And how wonderful it is to know that he is the creator. Not that just there is a creator, but that he is a creator. Isaiah 40 and verse 28, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. That is in the context of verse 31, the one we know well, that if you walk with the Lord, you're not going to faint. You're going to rise up with wings as eagles. But we find truth about God, that he's a creator. We find that he's a loving redeemer. And we could go verse after verse after verse that shows this about God. And we find it in the scriptures. We know John 3:16, Romans 5:8. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19 says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We also find that God is not just there, but God is here. God is not just there to create and to make and to mold and then to leave it. Aren't you glad that God is a God who is involved in your life? And God is caring, and we find that from the scriptures. Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Luke 12, 6 and 7, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Not only did we find out that God is creator, he's a loving redeemer, he is he's caring, but he also sees everything. God does not miss anything. Do you know that? What wonderful truth that is. Proverbs 5 and verse 21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Proverbs 15 and verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. What's something specific, think to you, something specific that the Lord has taught you about himself that you didn't get from coming to church, although I'm not saying don't come to church, okay? That you didn't get from coming to church, but you got just from spending time in God's word. What truth about God has come to your mind, has come to your heart, has jumped off the page. I'm not going to sing that song for you guys, okay? But how many times has that happened? Why? Because God wants to reveal himself through the scriptures. Why should I spend time in God's word? Because Jesus said we need it. Because it's where we find truth. We can go plenty of places for lies, can't we? We can go to ourselves and get lies. But to find truth, we need to spend time in God's word. Not only do we find out truth about God, but we find out truth about ourselves. The Bible teaches us who we are. Sunday night of EBS was a whole spinoff. How do you remember? It seems like ancient ago, doesn't it? That Sunday night, last Sunday night of EBS. But Dr. Evo, all right, and Lucian came out. Okay, Dr. Evo, and then you had Lucian was one of the guys, I'm hoping it was one of the guys dressed up in a gorilla suit, and came out through here, and they were talking about the difference between creation and whatnot. And why are we doing that? Because we're trying to get truth into these kids, and we have to start there, right? Because these kids don't learn. The kids that are coming, how many of them have heard that God not only created them, but that God loves them? And to start there, the truth is we're created by God, that we are created in the image of God, and we have value because of that. But we're sinners as well, and we cannot pay for our own sin. But we can accept the gift of God, and what precious truth that is, as we had three young people even this week accept the gift of God. John Phillips says this, "The Word of God is a down-to-earth document. It meets us where we are and tells us what to do. This practical book is designed to help us deal with the realities of our everyday lives." Number three, why should we spend time in God's word? Not just because Jesus said so, not just because there's truth, although those are fantastic reasons, because Jesus said it, but because of the Bible's power to change lives. What a change comes through the word of God. Think about men like George Mueller, who was a German youth and a drunk and spent time in jail, I think in his late teens, and was invited to a home Bible study, and the sight of a young man there praying to a personal God gripped his heart, that night he went home and accepted Christ. And those of you who know his story know the transformation that took place of his relationship with God. What about the Apostle Paul? He said he was before, what, a blasphemer, and he wreaked havoc upon the church, but God reached out in grace to the Apostle Paul, and that life was transformed. You think of John Newton, the writer of Amazing Grace, and one of the most, probably the most popular hymn written, and one of the most well-known stories of all time. In the Church of London, in which he was the pastor, there is still an epitaph, which John Newton wrote for himself, and it reads this, "Sacred to the memory of John Newton, once a libertine and blasphemer and slave of slaves in Africa, but renewed, purified, pardoned, and appointed to preach the gospel which he had labored to destroy." What a change. What a transformation. Psalm 119 in verse 9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." 1 Peter 2:2, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." Growth sounds like change, doesn't it? Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Why does it function that way? So that there can be change in our lives. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." If the Bible has to correct us, if it has to instruct us, then that means there has to be a change that takes place. And that's the power of God to transform. How many of us, as Pastor Surrett has mentioned many times, we don't like to be corrected, but we like to be correct. And even last Saturday night, we were setting up for tables, and we were setting up the registration tables next door, and I said, "Okay, what tables are going in order?" And I said, "Well, these are the colors that are going in order." And I named off the four different colors of the four teams, and I had two of the four right. And I had to be corrected that there was a switch that needed to take place. So how foolish would it have been of me to go, "No, no, 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 this is correct. when I knew it wasn't correct. So what did we do? All right, let's fix the tables. Why? Because we won't cause confusion with the registration people and the kids as they're coming in. All right, they want to go to a specific color for a specific grade. So there's correction that takes place in our lives. There's correction that needs to take place. And how does that happen? It happens by the transforming power of God's word. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And as we're sanctified, we are changed into the image of God more and more by the truth of God's word. Why does Satan fight so hard to keep us away from God's word? You ever noticed that? Have you ever gone to pick up your Bible to read and you just, I don't really want to do that today, okay? I don't know if that happens to you ever, but maybe you just don't feel like doing it, but you do it because you know it's the right thing to do. Satan has experienced the power of Scripture firsthand, and we find that in Matthew chapter 4, where he was defeated by the word of God, the words of our Lord specifically. That's why there's a fight. Don't be surprised that it's a struggle. Don't be surprised if, why, this doesn't feel natural. No, it's not. Because you have an enemy that wants to keep you from this book. I've had it before where I could read a book to our girls, and I could read The Very Hungry Caterpillar, and there's no issue. No problem. I could read The Berenstain Bears. I could read whatever. But if we go to read God's word, it's almost like there's a battle that takes place. Why? Because Satan wants to keep you from this book. Everything he can. He wants to busy your life. He wants to distract. He wants to keep you from God's word. Because he knows the power it has to transform your life. And we could give testimony this morning all over this room how God has specifically changed our lives through the power of the gospel and through the power of his word. One author says it this way: the Bible does not hide people behind a mask of human perfection. When you read the Bible, you get an accurate depiction of the human heart and human nature. But in contrast, the Bible reveals the gracious and merciful heart of God. You see the very depth of his forgiveness, and you see ordinary people like you and me being transformed from the inside out. That's what the scripture does for us. So we come to the final question. All right, Pastor Adam, I need to spend time in God's word. How do I do it? How do I spend time in God's word? And I trust this morning that you have a plan to be in God's word every day. I hope you have the desire to do that. I hope you're trying to do that. Keep fighting, especially after a week like this where we have been poured out with truth. There's going to be an attack because of the power of truth in our life, and Satan doesn't like that. So how do I spend time in the Bible? Number one, read it. Read God's word. And these are just simple things, but maybe that's daily devotions. Maybe you have a reading plan. There are Bible apps out there that have reading plans. There are, you know, through the Bible in a year plans. All of those things take place. But just spend time in God's word. If you don't have anything, if you don't have a plan, start with something simple. Maybe it's a proverb every day. Proverbs 1 on, you know, May 1st, and Proverbs 2 on May 2nd, or whatever month you're in. Maybe start with something like that to get into God's word and to develop that. So one, read it. Get a time of devotions. Get an app. Get a reading plan. Number two, listen to it. The Bible.is app and website are ones that I've used to listen to scripture. And this is something you can do on the way to work. It's something you can do while you're getting ready in the morning, or whatever takes place. You could hit a button and you could listen to a chapter of scripture, or just any time throughout the day, driving or whenever you have a quiet moment, which may not happen in your house, but try to find those times when you can do that. Maybe you have the Bible on CD and you could pop CDs in, and you know, those are those old round discs we used to use and pop in CDs. But how do I spend time with the Bible? You read it, you listen to it, memorize it. One of the focuses this week was for our kids to memorize God's word and to spend time memorizing God's word. And we gave them points for memorizing God's word. I don't know if Pastor's going to give you points or prizes for memorizing God's word. Pastor, look what I memorized this week, but it's still a great habit to get into. I was working through James chapter 1, and I never really spent time reading it, but just by spending time listening to it, I began to memorize that passage of scripture because I had heard it so many times. So find time to memorize God's word and to listen to it. And then think about it. We call this meditation. One author said this, if you want to internalize a piece of knowledge, you've got to linger over it. If I want to internalize it, I've got to linger over it. And meditate on God's word. Spend time in it. Listen to it preached and taught. You come to church. Our church uploads the messages. Pastor Ogle's messages are on there. You can go back and listen to those. Sermonaudio.com is a website and an app. If there's a particular preacher that you enjoy, there's messages on there. Pastor Ogle has messages on there. Rich Tozer has messages on there. Morris Gleiser and his evangelist, they have messages on there. You could go back and listen to those things. You can download them on your Wi-Fi, and you can play them if they're downloaded, not have to use data. But those are things that you can do. The truth is, of all the generations of this world's history, we should be able to spend the most time in God's word. Simple. We should be able to spend the most time in God's word. We have all the conveniences of life, the conveniences of that help us, whether it's just mechanical, whether it's a car that, you know, we just have to go and crank in. We don't have to hitch up horse and buggy anymore and you know, spend an hour doing that and then take care of the horse when we get back, okay? We wash the car, we put gas in it, change the oil, but for the most part, it's good to go. And sometimes those aren't even things we do, okay? But we should spend time in God's word, and we shouldn't have a reason why we can't. But Satan is the master distractor, isn't he? And ourselves wanting to fit in as much as we possibly can, to get in as much as we possibly can during the day. And what gets neglected? It's the focus on God's word. So we should, with the modern conveniences, with the access we have to God's word, we don't have an excuse not to be in God's word. Andrew Murray said this, time is one of the main standards to measure value. The time I spend in God's word, the time I spend in God's word shows me how much I value God's word. Will you make it a priority of your time to be in God's word? I trust you have a plan. I trust you have a daily time in God's word. If you don't, I encourage you, start, even if it's just a psalm. It's a small passage. Make it a part of your life to get into God's word and to internalize it. If you have that time, if you have that plan, I just want to encourage you this morning, keep going. Don't stop. Sometimes we think that, you know, I'm not really seeing the change. I'm spending time in God's word, but I'm not really seeing the change. Sometimes we see the change more when we're not in God's word than when we are in God's word. And I found in my life, personally, nothing affects my life more than my time or my lack of time in God's word. Nothing affects my life more than my time or my lack of time in God's word. And when I don't have, and it's not a magic talisman where if I spend time in God's word today, everything's going to go perfect. Okay, or well, this happened today because I didn't spend time in God's word. Okay, it's not that, you know, magic good luck piece, but it's a part of what God wants to see take place in your life, is to spend time in his word every day, to spend time fellowshipping with him. I remember times before where I would just be maybe struggling, or I would have a hard time with something, or maybe there was an issue I was having, or my patience wasn't like it should have been, or there was another aspect of my life that was out of place. And I remember times before when Jamie has come to me and said, how's your time in the word been? And I've said, not good. And she says, I know. Because it's a reflection of who I am. As I spend time in God's word, as I spend time fellowshipping with him, I'm going to reflect him. The more time I spend with myself and out of God's word, the more I'm going to reflect me. And the more I'm going to reflect the flesh. So spend time in God's word. You and I, in order for us to live as God intends for us to live, we must spend time in God's word. Don't shirk this. This is a big deal. So big that the Merrill spent a whole week teaching the fact that God's word is truth and we need to have it. All the effort that went into this week to get into these kids that God's word is truth. But that's not something that's just for the kids. That's for all of us as well. So I just want to encourage you, spend time in God's word. Do it. Don't give up on the fight. Don't give up on the struggle. It's a vital part of our lives. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you how it speaks to us, helps us. Father, as mentioned, Lord, we could go around this room and this morning and just give testimony. So many lives out here that have been impacted and changed by God's word. Father, would you help us as a church family to commit individually to spend time in your word? Father, I pray if there's one here and they're struggling with this, if it's been a fight, Father, would you give them strength for the battle that will take place? Father, would you give them the desire to fight and to wield the sword of the Spirit to combat the voice of Satan and to use the scriptures in order to do that? Father, I pray for those here who, Lord, they are faithful in spending time in your word. Father, would you help them to continue? Help them to realize, Lord, even if they're not seeing massive changes or big changes, Father, would you help them to see the benefit from being in your word? Lord, we thank you for it. Thank you for the rest of the day as we go to Sunday school. Lord, I pray for the teachers that you'd give them wisdom, clarity of thought, and that you'd speak to hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you. You are dismissed. Sunday school at